Joseph Simonton of Eagle River, Wisconsin, claims that a flying saucer landed in his backyard one day and an extraterrestrial got out and gave him some pancakes. There were no other witnesses to this remarkable occurrence, so it's certainly tempting to say that Simonton must have been hallucinating. There's no reason to think that he was consciously perpetrating a hoax, however. He's not tried to commercialize on his encounter in any way and seems to be baffled by the whole experience, just as you would be. Dr. J. Allen Hynek, a skeptical astronomer who explained other UFOs as swamp gas, was sent by the Air Force to investigate Simonton. Dr. Hynek took some of the damnable pancakes back to the Dayton Air Force Base, where the UFO investigation is headquartered, and scientists there determined that the pancakes were perfectly normal and contained nutritious wheat germ, perhaps indicating that the Space Brothers are Ralph Nader fans. Dr. Hynek himself says he thinks that Simonton was telling the truth, i.e., he believed in his experience. Dr. Jacques Vallée also investigated this case and says that he too is convinced that Simonton is honest. Simonton himself has no idea why he, of all people on Earth, was singled out for this perplexing gift. If Simonton merely hallucinated the whole episode, where did the accursed astral pancakes actually come from? Answer me that, O ye skeptics. On the other hand, if the flying saucer was really there, in the yard, why in the name of all the potbelly gods of Burma did the extraterrestrials decide on this occasion to present a human being a gift of pancakes? The story is equally bizarre and unsatisfying, however we interpret it.
Yet, I want to believe, because I'm the key figure in an ongoing government charade, the plot to conceal the truth about the existence of extraterrestrials. It's a global conspiracy, actually, with key players in the highest levels of power that reach down into the lives of every man, woman, and child on this planet. So, of course, no one believes me. I am an annoyance to my superiors, a joke to my peers. They call me Spooky Mulder, or Spooky, Spooky Mulder, whose sister was abducted by aliens when he was just a kid and who now chases after little green men with a badge and a gun, shouting to the heavens or to anyone who will listen that the fix is in, that the sky is falling, and when it hits, it's going to be the shitstorm of all time.
Yes, it is. Hello and welcome. It's Monday night.
And this is 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and distributed by thesyncbook.com. You can find our archives at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at Sync42 and at SyncBook. Today is the 8th day of February, 2016, and happy birthday, Mr. Halcott.
Yes, happy birthday, Kevin. But before we get into it, let's take a moment to relate that our next SyncBook Plus member hangout is scheduled for Monday, February 22nd at 10 p.m. Eastern. Get in touch if you have any questions. Also, as a reminder, our March hangout will be in person in Boise at the Spring Sync event. Special thanks to all of you for participating in the Indiegogo campaign, and we look forward to meeting you. Although the 31 Days of Sync campaign is now over, we will definitely still have tickets available for the 2016 Oli Sync Summit for both the event and the guest house. Details will follow soon. And if you missed any of the great media we published last month, catch up at thesyncbook.com/Oli2014.
But tonight, we are pleased to present Jeremy Knight and Frank Zero, publishers of the 2014 book Contact, featuring essays by Mike Claylin and Christopher Knowles. They both are no strangers to SyncBook Radio and have appeared many times on both 42 Minutes and Always Record. It has been a while, though, so it's good to be catching up with you guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Doing good. Well, just researching, which by that I mean watching movies.
Frank, have you ever thought about coming up to the Olympian Sync Summit?
I think about it all the time. I'd really like to be there, but as far as money for transportation or nearly anything else,
What could you make happen if we told you would kind of be like a presenter? Because I'm not saying that that would happen, but you know, I know some people.
Sure. I mean, I'd love to give a lecture or a few lectures or do a PowerPoint, or Jeremy and I could get together and maybe try to do like a video or something that would correspond to a lecture that one or both of us would give. And I mean, that's just, you know, off the top, I'd really be down for anything, but, you know, publishing more stuff and having it there as something to sort of circulate around what we're saying. Or
Will, could you bring some of those drum machines I see in your studio there and have Frank kind of freestyle maybe?
Yeah, we're just going to do like these 3-hour suicide covers where we're just, it's just going to be like low wave industrial. And I think Jeremy said he wanted to wear glasses. So that means I'm going to be in a shiny suit and dancing. And I think that was the whole plan. That's the end. It's suicide.
We can call it Punk's Daft.
or Sinker Side or something that's not so drastic.
Okay, so
how did you guys meet? Have we ever discussed that? And then
have you guys ever met? Have you guys ever shaken hands? You guys have never shaken hands then?
No.
That's interesting. Wow. Yeah.
You know what? I don't feel like I know the man any less, I'll be honest.
Whatever. That reduces all of us to nerds on the internet. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But look, though, man, they have plans at the Sync Summit in Olympia to do things a little bit different. Talking the ideas that are bouncing around right now is to have like round tables, okay? So it would be some, instead of like, there would be like one person who's basically like the host of the conversation. Do you know what I mean? And then you might have different individuals who are sitting down like at a table, and then we're like showing clips or whatever, however you set it up. But I started fantasizing about that idea and having...
Sounds like what happened at the summit at dinner time. Like we had basically a round table, you know,
right.
But no one had point at the dinner.
Well, see, that, I mean, that's kind of like the reason, though, because the way that those things were set up, everybody was talking all the time. It was kind of hard not to want to just brainstorm. So it's just like an idea that spawned out of what actually happened at the last Sync Summit, trying to see what would work, what worked and what didn't. But we actually, all three, got involved with a project one time that never came to fruition with the G.I. Joe stuff.
Yeah.
And seeing something like that, like live, and being able to chat about it was what I was fantasizing about. Like having, you know what I mean? Cool, you could set it up by episodes or whatever. And plus there was this weird thing that James Evan Pilato did for his presentation that was on like The Simpsons. So it would keep in the theme or at least the spirit of the last one. You kind of like a, what do you call it? A Saturday morning vision quest thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a big feel to it. I don't know. Just an idea. I think you should try coming, though, motherfucker. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you should do a fundraiser. Kids do it all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hear you, man. I think those are all great ideas. I would even step up and say, you know, if we're going to do G.I. Joe, why not X-Men? Because it's so terribly relevant. And it's the other thing that I can bridge to X-Files and G.I. Joe so seamlessly. So whatever one is current or whatever one people seem to favor, I can make the parallel between or do completely separate things. I mean, I have stuff written in both formats.
Well, it seems like you've got X-Men on your mind, man. Would that be more of a project you would be interested in like a Sync Summit environment, like, you know what I'm saying, so to speak? What kind of material you have on the X-Men, dude?
The X-Men, well, I mean, I've been thinking about preparing a book, and I've talked to Jeremy a lot about it just because of how much data I have. You know, I could fill maybe 3 of these shows talking about just the links between the real world and the X-Men. But because so many of those parallels tend to be the same, the way they are with super soldiers, mind control, obvious New World Order memes, extraterrestrial technology, that runs shamelessly from G.I. Joe to X-Files to X-Men. So to answer your question, I'd love to do X-Men, you know, but like I was saying before, I'd almost like a survey of what everybody in the Sync community, which is very different from just writing the stuff I write, or putting the lectures on SoundCloud that I do, where I'm putting it out there, and I'm like, who's really going to care that much about the cross comparison between the two or just G.I. Joe? This is something where if I could kind of gauge what people wanted to see at the summit, that I'd come back and narrow it, focus in on one or do all of them, whatever.
Well, can we just agree that the idea of the X is like a meme right now?
Oh, yeah. Jay Kotze killed it the other day with the Double X and the Suicide Squad, the X-Men and the X-Files. It was something I was already, key to.
It's the X-Files Season X also is something that I realized.
And Founder's Mutation, which sounds like it's talking about Xavier.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But then also at the Super Bowl, you have Beyonce dancing around and they make a big X. You guys, yeah.
Well, there's like, isn't it the Super Bowl five it, X's or something? Isn't the symbol?
No, it's new. It's Super Bowl 50, but I think I could be wrong. But the symbol for 50 is just an L, right?
Okay.
So they didn't dig it. They didn't dig just the L. There was problems with it or whatever. So they just went with the 50, but everything before, I think now, I can't remember last year, but I'm pretty sure everything's been Roman numerals up to now. This was the first one without a Roman numeral.
Oh, okay. I just heard that from someone random. Now I'm regretting it.
No, but it would be XXXXX. It's weird because Deadpool comes out and it struck me. I had seen the preview on TV and whatever, but then I realized in the background they're saying it's the DMX song, X Gonna Give It To You. Do you know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so there's like this, I don't know if they did that intentionally because he is technically like from the X-Men family, do you know what I mean? But it's being chanted over and over in your head, plus the Beyonce X, plus what Kotze put up the other day, it's XXXXXX.
So what's going on in consciousness?
The Founder's Mutation, we could hope. The second wave of mutation.
The X gene? Or I mean, like, this is a Y and an X gene, right? As far as, like, it's the Mulder. It would be the Mulder gene. X-Files.
Fox. Or having something to do with the Scarlet Woman, the Tifa Rat, the Jean Grey, Scully energy. I'm sorry, I'm mixing in X-Men without even thinking about it.
So when I first started watching the new X-Files, it's not new necessarily, it's just the 10th season of the X-Files, right? I heard people talking about this, like, this isn't a reboot, it's just, you know, here's another season, life has continued. Why now? I mean, some of all the government conspiracy alien stuff, it seems like, why now? Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
I feel like Chris Carter wanted to let the culture attempt to assess itself, with such giant steps being taken toward him essentially being right in all the seasons of the original X-Files about things that is one side of the two-track thing they're going down with the new X-Files. So one side of this is the deep state, the surveillance state. And I feel like he wanted to, after 9/11 and after some other things, I mean, he might have just been, you know, sitting in a cave gathering notes. But I feel like he wanted to see how the public reacted. He wanted to see where the world stage was at. And then once it was kind of a thing where, you know, maybe I feel way too personally about this and I'm assuming too much. But once it was kind of a thing where we don't care that there's a surveillance state. We don't care about intelligence organizations and people spying on us and wars we don't have control over or whatever. Once that sort of passiveness was just really sort of palatable in culture, I feel like he felt like he could come back and say, well, first of all of these scenarios, which you originally thought that I was exaggerating, artificial intelligence and a militarized police or whatever, that's actually happening. And so the show is going to try to remind us of how severely things have changed, let's say just since the show was on the last time. And then the other thing would be, you know, just sitting around, like I was saying, and sort of brooding on all these ideas, the larger plot ideas, like the colonization and stuff like that, the larger mythology point, and being able to come back and put that within a context of, now we have a deep surveillance state, you know, how are we still missing these anomalies and these freakish things going on we call the X-Files. And then, in fact, are we at a point where half society is actually turning into X-Men? And, you know, another large demographic is responsible for sitting there at an NSA computer or launching a Predator drone or whatever. You know, I feel like it really has to do with relevance, and he wanted to wait till the vision of even some of his heroes, the William Gibsons and things like that, were super, super visible. And we all knew what we were talking about when, or what he was talking about, rather, when he goes over those ideas.
Do you have anything to add, Jeremy?
No, I think that was pretty concise.
And are you enjoying this latest season of the X-Files?
I'm loving the new X-Files. Frank's missed a few episodes, but I mean, it starts with the original opening, so it really is like just the next season of X-Files, you know?
Do you guys, don't you think that it's a little formulaic, though? I mean, I went back and I started watching the first original X-Files, and it pretty much plays out the same way. Apparent alien abduction in the first episode. The second one's a little bit different, but it's more alien orientated. And then number three is almost like a crypto. I haven't seen the newest one. I think it comes out tonight. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one, I think the first episode was called Pilot, right? And it had to do with like the paranormal fucking, near comatose, like alien, heavy alien abduction type stuff. I guess that would be different for the first one. In the new series was basically about like every conspiracy theory that had been on the internet since like 2001, just dumped out of Mulder's mouth in like 5 minutes. Did you guys get that feel of it? That was like everything that had happened since the show's end, like blurted out.
And in case you missed this, and it was the entire history between the last X-Files episode and this one.
But it was like totally unsatisfying, right? Because then it was just like, oh, shit, they got to her. We have no hope in proving this. Oh, well, okay, now we're on to a lizard guy. Do you know what I mean? It's weird.
That's usually what happens in the larger mythology episodes. And what you're talking about with the formula, I think, is something that's very emotionally necessary, or at least Chris Carter or someone in the production feels that it is, so that we're
nostalgic. It's nostalgic. It's like being true to the whole thing, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, but you're running over the same ritual circuits emotionally, mm-hmm. so that you can tell a vastly larger intellectual story, which people won't really pick up on. So, okay, here's Mulder. He's got his lead. He's, as Scully says, on fire. He's being obnoxious with it. Scully's there to say, you know, pipe down, Mulder. You don't have all the answers yet. We need more tangible evidence. But what's different here is that even though they're saying almost the same lines, we're talking about more of what Kritschkow tried to explain to Mulder in the DARPA building, the jurisdiction of the DOD. We're talking about MILABs, military abductions that came out of a field that was very ripe after World War II, sort of sewn together by the Cold War with the necessity of continuing Nazi mind control and Nazi eugenics experiments. And though that's mentioned and brought up and flirted with throughout all the original seasons of the X-Files, up to the point where we know that Scully had a human doctor aboard a UFO, this one's starting out and saying, I don't mean a rub my own tummy here, but it's essentially my thesis in the Contact book, that we're dealing with humans. We're dealing with Nazi technology and Nazi science and Nazi methodology. And then that's, you know, happily being sort of run through through a secret government or a black government, the syndicate in the X-Files.
Well, what's in the Contact book? Like, what could I expect in that?
Most of the chapters that I wrote myself, I was trying to go on the thesis that I'm saying, you know, Mulder's all lit up over now, but that after all of the, you know, the thousands and thousands of cases and testimony I've read and all the different mind control technology stuff and special access programs and, you know, stealth planes and UFOs and whatever, what it all came down to repeatedly for me was that when it comes to the thing I'm most passionate about, that I'm trying to figure out the most originally when I started this quest 17 years ago, the actual abduction phenomenon is fractured in a way that we really don't appreciate it at all on the surface. And that fracture has to do with whether the aliens are bringing us pancakes or not. And I almost thought you started off the episode with that reasoning. So we're looking at, there's much more evidence that our military, that other governments took stuff that we, you know, popularly relate to Project Paperclip, but we're talking about thousands and thousands of SS all over the world that were not successfully denazified, and governments taking them with open arms. You know, ours would be the best example. And then through that, somehow we get back to the sort of Russian-German fight over what eugenics are going to be. And through that, we get to further some of the more psychopathological tendencies of intelligence organizations like the CIA and MKUltra. And what that turns into is a, like I'm saying, a methodology whereby you make a person think they're being floated out of their bed, that they're subjected to very human-like scientific experiments with very human-like instruments. We have people who worked on MKUltra who were proud to brag in public statements about making a person seem as if they've met God or seem as if they've been abducted by an alien. That's an actual quote. What I'm getting at here in all this is that the MyLab or the military abduction is a huge part of the equation, that the aliens still seem to be there, but that the most integral part of all of this is the counterintelligence and the disinformation game being run. That the people who come back to Earth, let's say, to tell us about their experiences are to be trusted because the experiences happened to them and they're to be taken, you know, genuinely and not laughed at, of course. But what they're describing to us is, you know, something gained after hypnosis or while drugged or any one of hundreds of documented methodologies you can look up under government mind control and the extensions of such, the electronic extensions, psychotronics and things like that, things you can do from a far distance. You don't have to have some, you know, ancient Nazi doctor there to pass on his secret. I'll stop there, but if you want to ask me anything more specific.
Frank, I don't know if I'm remembering correctly, but the aliens in the original X-Files are connected with the black oil and everything. In the movie, at least, we see that they're in the spaceship frozen under Antarctica or whatever. And the rest of the series, they're pretty much uninvolved. It's just a syndicate doing syndicate things that happen to have MyLab. There's the bounty hunters and stuff, but I think the main alien force you don't actually ever see in the original series, right?
There's a couple of weird grays that are like gaining energy from different spots that you see in different shots. Some of them like shedding the original form they had, giving us the idea that some theorists have that the gray alien look is just some sort of spacesuit or whatever. But you're entirely correct, I think, and you reminded me that whenever we see that triangular TR-3 craft, the one that we can identify as an exotic, you know, special access program. I think that in the original X-Files, Chris Carter's really trying to tell us, even when the bright white light is beaming out of it and taking Mulder or whatever, you know, this is identified popularly with aliens, but the reason it's abducting Mulder on a military base, because Mulder walked too far into that base towards said special access programs, is, you know, the reason we're using triangular craft in so many words is to show you that the human element is still there, even if back engineered and related to an initial, you know, Roswell-like event.
Right. And so at the beginning of the season, I don't know if it was episode 1 or 2, Mulder is basically saying he's a dupe. Like, I've been a dupe all these years, Scully.
Precisely. He comes to that conclusion repeatedly and comes to the conclusion that he's in the position that I'm telling you guys abductees are, to pass on a script, to further a culture of disinformation, a culture of comforting each other in thinking that you've seen a 3.5 foot tall gray alien with almond eyes, not just for a nose and a, you know, slit for a mouth, which is to escape anything from, you know, early childhood sexual trauma all the way to, you know, losing 40 hours in your Marine barracks and not being able to come to terms with anything besides basically remembering an alien abduction.
All right, so the other meme I'm picking up on in consciousness right now is this idea of apocalypse, and we can take it into...
Well, that's the X-Men. Yeah.
So what...
It's the Satan. Satan's coming back. Lucifer's all over. Like, this apocalyptic Lucifer bullshit is, like, every fucking where right now.
Mm-hmm.
With the drop of... Okay, so... There was Childhood's End, Arthur C. Clarke's sci-fi adaptation where basically aliens show up and they fix everything, one world government, so forth and so on, and then they step out and they look like Satan. And then you get like the Daredevil strong thing coming on where it's basically the devil is the hero. But like even
in the show Lucifer on right now.
Lucifer, yeah, that's being advertised up one wall and down the other as far as right after X-Files. So like it's weird because it's all Lucifer like on on the screen while X-Files is like the ideas blend. Like right. X-Files is about Lucifer coming back or whatever. Like it's just Lucifer, Apocalypse, like the end is coming.
Is Apocalypse and Thanos, are they similar creatures?
They're
when
not.
Marvel and DC split, they became Thanos and Darkseid. And then Apocalypse is the planet Darkseid comes from. I would almost like to just get Christopher Knowles in the room to explain this better.
But. Well, yeah. I know what you're talking about, but there's also a further, like, more modern separation between the two, because what you say has an importance, seeing that X-Men is owned by 20th Century Fox and Thanos is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He symbolizes an apocalyptic event as well coming later in Marvel. But they're, I mean, symbolically the same event. It's just one's getting substituted for the other now. So it's like what I've come to realize is there's going to be like think about it like this. Apocalypse is Doomsday. You know what I'm saying? It's the same symbolic individual because Doomsday in the DC universe is going to be on screen this year also. Do you see what I'm saying?
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
and
so
Apocalypse goes back, you know.
Doomsday and Apocalypse are basically the same creature. They even bear.
I'm just saying the same idea. Like,
yeah.
That's the idea. Where you could even say, oh, the fifth wave. I mean, I went to some movie with my kids, and it's just like nothing but Apocalypse after Apocalypse.
Apocalypse
it's like,
Apocalypse,
oh my gosh, what's going on?
Yeah.
And Apocalypse represents something sort of thrice archonic, and I've always held on to that notion that not only is he ancient and he's been worshipped as a deity or a god, but he has like mechanical, bizarre parts. He seems to be possessed not of a black oil, but of something, you know, ancient and evil and unspeakable. And he has this ability to shapeshift. To me, he was always like a robot and a snake and a mutant and sort of just the craziest fundamentalist you could come up with all in one. And
right.
when
well,
you start
the difficult,
intertwining
the,
he and Mr. Sinister, excuse me, I'm sorry. When you start intertwining he and Mr. Sinister, you really get to this Garden of Eden. Who's farming the X-Men? If they're farmed, are they set up by, you know, organizations to be almost a government organization but not know it? I'll stop there. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, well, I'm going to go different than what I was going to say now, because you mentioned the Garden of Eden. I don't know if you guys have seen, but Alan Green did this ill representation of what X-Files' second episode for season 10 is pretty much symbolically saying, with the kid with the big head being Adam, and it's like mentioning the Garden of Eden. Do you get what I'm saying? Have you guys seen this? You've seen this? Then they move into the kid area where all the kids are like mutated, which are basically mutants. It's the same idea as X-Men, like these alien hybrid, genetically engineered, evolutionary like kids with special talents. Yes,
but the idea is so nefarious in the X-Files, where in the X-Men it seems like it's this natural organic thing, and it's we have to just embrace the mutation.
It's really not innocent at all. And I think that as much as the little kid me wants to kind of shed all the stuff that I know in order to just enjoy it the way I did when I was a kid, I've looked at it far too long and cross-compared it to far too much actual documented stuff. When we're talking about that their plane is a plane that was only issued exclusively for the use of the CIA, all the way to gave your functioning within the FBI having two people in the FBI sort of guide him to this process of what the X-Men's going to be. And then you're getting X-Men, you're getting Deadpools, you're getting all these different characters we love now, most of them from super soldier programs or from, you know, random teams like X-Force or Excalibur. Most of them are coming out of things like the Black Womb Project, I mean, where a shadowy intelligence organization is just brainwashing, traumatizing kids to force that moment of the sort of break whereby you mutate out of stress or out of trauma, to be more direct.
Right.
And the more I learn about the real world, the more I realize that intelligence organizations are taking all types of children, have been for decades and decades, functioning through all sorts of different means in order
to Jason Horsley's idea about Whitley Strieber, how the idea of the trauma of the aliens being, because Strieber's got some hints of military manipulation and childhood memories as well. So
yeah, no, Jason hit it on the head. That entire article he wrote, that must have been less than a week ago or something, where he's comparing Strieber and the Finders and all this. That's really where I was just speaking from, honestly. That added a little authority to me wanting to say stuff like this, because I had had my theories for, you know, years, and I passed them around to some of my peers and heroes and basically got the, that's too disturbing to deal with response, or, you know, you're going the wrong way, stop response. And something about that made me know that I was right. I keep examining everything from Dark City to, you know, G.I. Joe, whatever, to X-Men, X-Files. And then I go back and I look at the real world stuff, and it keeps leading me back to the fiction. You know, I gave that idea to SR-71 being exclusively the CIA's. Well, Wolverine and Sabretooth are relocated in the U.S. Department of Agriculture by the CIA to function, so that can function as a front for their, you know, assassination program, whatever. I could deal out examples like this all day, but why be so specific in, you know, kids' comics?
Whoa. Who plays Sabretooth in...
The same person who plays Manchurian Candidate.
Manchurian Candidate. Yes, that's right.
Liev Schreiber is repeatedly brainwashed, or he's accompanying a brainwashed Angelina Jolie.
Whitley Strieber and Strieber, Liev Schreiber. It's like there's related vernacular. There's a etymology there. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, those ideas are totally related with the aliens and the military brainwashing.
So if you watch Manchurian Candidate, then Salt, then Wolverine, where he's twinned with Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth, Angelina Jolie is a sleeper cell for Russia, twinned with Schreiber for the American overthrow, if you will. The Manchurian Candidate, he is twinned with Denzel Washington as they were kidnapped in a mission in Desert Storm and put through the, you know, the MKUltra rigmarole. There are more movies that I could line up right here. I just am forgetting them.
Speaking of like a cross between all the things, I think Captain America's Civil War come out this year, and Captain America's original, the Super Soldier. And Civil War is another theme, or kind of war, like civil unrest in general, is another theme I've kind of been looking for with all the refugees and, you know, increasing warfare and stuff around the world. It seems like there's a big push for military law. Why am I blanking on the word? What's that movie with Bruce Willis where there's martial law as Muslim terrorists? That was on TV today, right before X-Files came on. I hadn't seen it either.
I know that one too, where it's like
Denzel's going like race-based camps and stuff. So I thought it was weird because that theme, like I said, is coming up for me a lot, and then that movie's on TV, like, of all things, to be potentially insensitive.
Well, it was weird because, okay, so I felt like there was some kind of weird programming going on last night, Doug, because you mentioned in Beyonce's performance how they had the big X and with the people cross back, and then as soon as the Super Bowl was done and I got everything done, as far as, like, you know, around the house and whatever, I go down to lay in bed and I go to see what's on HBO, and Malcolm X is playing. Denzel. Right.
But I think that
was definitely intentional.
It seemed like, I said, programming. It seemed like, I mean, because it was a black X, it was definitely...
Okay. But she's making a statement.
What happened in the Super Bowl was definitely race orientated, because there was Bruno Mars, and people are making fun of it. There's memes coming out right now that are kind of hinting at this fact, because Coldplay, which is white, you know, Anglo, literally Anglo from Europe, you know, whatever, they play the music, Bruno Mars comes out, Beyonce comes out, then Bruno Mars and Beyonce kind of have like a dance battle with Chris Martin in the middle. But they're all dressed in black. Bruno Mars's crew, all black. Beyonce's crew, all black. So I saw this the other day. I went to the movie theaters and I was sitting there and I looked at the movie posters, and there was Civil War with a big star and, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s face, Chris Evans' face. And then right next to it was the movie poster for Race, the Jesse Owens story with the, do you get what I'm saying? Is it race oriented? Even if you mix the letters up in Civil War, the word race is in there. So it's race, 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 race. Then the Super Bowl thing was race. And then the movie they have on HBO right afterwards was Malcolm X. It was one of the civil rights leaders, period, who changed his name to an X because he didn't want the slave name. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, and then there's this other strange thing happening where not only they Coldplay, whatever was going on there, I didn't see the whole thing, were promoting some kind of like revamp to a peace, hippie, happy culture, whatever. And then I was thinking about sort of the black star the whole time, because Coldplay had wanted David Bowie to collaborate with them, and David Bowie said, "Well, it's just not a really good song, is it?" And you know, that was a wrap on his response to them on collaborating. So then I saw them playing whatever empty nonsense they play, and then I saw this weird thing with Bruno Mars and Beyonce as like, "You're Michael Jackson, I'm Michael Jackson. This is actually how to kill every last idea about Michael Jackson. Like, this has been done so much, but what if we took Captain EO, and what if we took, you know, the badass look to Michael Jackson, and right here we just set fire to it with rainbows and chauvinism and this Roman, you know, ritual." David Bowie probably didn't, you know, dig football too much. I'm just going to go out there and say Michael Jackson, I feel like he wasn't sitting down for every Super Bowl, you know, betting on his fantasy team before they existed. So I think this is about the death of the feminine, the death of the alien, the death of the programmed puppet, and replaced by weaker, empty programmed puppets, if that makes any sense. I feel like they're ripping the culture out of what they think they made, let's say out of someone like Michael Jackson or whatever, and now we're just looking at simulacra singing back to simulacra, or however you want to put that, you know.
Oh,
all right, so we're running out of time. Have you guys been working on anything these days? Something we can look forward to?
Sure. There's that X-Men book, but I don't want to promise anything. I just have been hacking away forever. There's a whole bunch of fiction and writing in all kind of different directions I've been working on nonstop, that's going to see the light of day pretty soon. And then I would suggest anybody head over to the Zero Night blog. We'll have a PayPal thing set up if you want to donate to any one of many things we're doing, but I'm also working on a lot of different types of music. On the blog itself, there's, you know, a small book written about David Bowie. I tried to do this really in-depth look at all of Peter Lavenda's work and cross comparing it with other authors of the same type and other type of history. The Secret Space Program, Special Access Programs, the UFOs, and the contact stuff is all continued on that blog, so I would send anybody there. Jeremy, is there anywhere else that we make cool stuff we need people to see?
It's basically all at, if you go to Zero Night, number zero, knight.wordpress.com, there's links there to all the Facebooks, all the blogs, Frank's SoundCloud, where he just raps about weird stuff. I mean, basically everything that we can pile together.
There's also a Tumblr that's entirely dedicated to me in images and research, cross-comparing the X-Men to real-world stuff and other sync stuff. And then there's at least one blog where I'm just trying to write out, you know, most of this X-Men data. You know.
Well, that was 42 minutes. But before we go any farther, have you guys checked out the new Clellan book?
No, it looks amazing, but I haven't gotten a chance.
It does look I'm in the same boat. We'll have to look into it. Oh, and I think Straber and Kripe will have a book that just came out too. Anyway, Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
You've been listening to Frank Zero and Jeremy Knight on 42 Minutes, a production of Sync Book Radio and thesyncbook.com.
You can find Contact at Amazon, and we will link to it.
For more information about the Sync Book, our guests, to check out past shows, or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thesyncbook.com. If you like this podcast and would like more, consider becoming a Sync Book Plus member. Some of the membership benefits include full access to the complete audio archives, discounts on books, behind-the-scenes scripts, bonus audio and video, as well as monthly online hangouts with the host. All this and more can be found at thesyncbook.com/membership. Thanks so much. And back in the day, Scully, back in the day is now.
What happened at the New Orleans? I'm back. I'm popular the man.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. Oh, I like my baby hair with baby hair and afro. I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. I earned all this money, but they never take the country I'm in. I got hot sauce in my bag, swag.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, yes, I like that.
Oh, Miss B, I know you came to slay. Don't play with the girls, baby. I like cornbread and collard greens. Oh, yes, you best to believe it.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. Oh, I like my baby hair with baby hair and afro. I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. I earned all this money, but they never take the country I'm in. I got hot sauce in my bag, swag. I see it, I want it.
Get your song played on the radio station.
slay. I might get your song played on a radio station. Cause I slay. You just might be a black Bill Gates in the making. Cause I slay. I just might be a black Bill Gates in the making. I see it, I want it. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious, best revenge is your paper.
Girl, I'll hear some thunder.
Golly!